Have an apology from the chairperson of the committee, Honorable Mokwanishe. He's not available today. He's attending the Intelligence Committee. In the absence of the chair, we will need to elect an acting chair for the meeting. Am I audible, members?
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I've got network problems. I'm under load shedding, so I just wanted to double check that. Can I then open the floor for nominations for the acting chair for the duration of the meeting? We were also informed that the chair won't be available tomorrow as well. So I think we can also elect for the 2 days if it's possible, or we can elect one for tomorrow. But can we, I then open the floor for nominations for the acting chair?
Sorry, it's Jan Engelbrecht here. Mm-hmm. Isn't Honorable Janky our deputy chair in any case?
The committee would now and again, in the absence of the chair, just for procedural purposes, put it on the record that he's been elected for the duration of those particular meetings. But if the committee's understanding, but for the procedural record, we would need just to elect him for record purposes, Honorable Engelbrecht.
Good. Then I will nominate Honorable Janky as our acting or stand-in chair. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Engelbrecht. Can I get a seconder? Note the hands of Honorable Mola.
Honorable Neo Druchen seconds.
Okay, Honorable Neo Druchen seconds, but Honorable Mola's hand has been up, but I'm sure he wanted to do the same. Can I then get any further nominations? In the absence of further nominations, can I then call Honorable Janky to take the floor as the acting chair for the meeting? Thank you.
Good morning, Committee Secretary Sia. Good morning, colleagues. Welcome to the meeting. Thank you to Honorables Engelbrecht and Nivo Drachen for their confidence. We will stand in for the chair for the duration of the 2 days. She is engaged in other matters and would not waste any further time. Maybe before I recognize the office of the Chief Justice, I recognize the hand of Honorable Glenys Breytenbach.
Am I on?
Yes,
you are. Honorable Breytenbach, you are recognized, followed by Honorable Swartz. Mm. Honorable Breytenbach. Honorable Breytenbach, I think your line is breaking. It's not even starting. Can you reposition yourself better?
Sorry, Mr. Chair. Honorable Breytenbach is on Geldtrein, and the reception there is very patchy.
Okay.
Honorable Horn is disembarking from the airport.
Okay.
Now. So he'll be joining us shortly.
Those two apologies are noted, recognized. Thank you, Honorable Engelbrecht. Honorable Swart.
No, thank you, Chair. And I just need to note an apology as well between this committee and the Finance Committee. And tomorrow, I've also got the WIPS meeting. And I undertake not to bring any application for your recusal. Thank you, Chair.
thank you for that assurance, Honorable Swart. Much appreciated. Thank you very much. We note your apology for today and tomorrow as well, given those commitments. Thank you, colleagues. Welcome to everybody in the meeting. We especially welcome the Office of the Chief Justice, who are coming in front of the committee today to share with us the good news and challenging news of the Office of the Chief Justice as part of the annual report accountability exercise. I specifically recognize the SG who leads that delegation. And I want to recognize you, SG, to come forward and make your important remarks and take us through your presentation. We normally would give maximum 45 minutes. Don't have to go to that for your presentations. And then thereafter, members will engage with your presentation. You are recognized.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Acting Chairperson, and members of the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Professional Services. I'm sitting with my ex-co. In the interest of time, I will not necessarily go through. I have the DDGs. Apology, one of my DDGs went sick yesterday, but he'll be joining the core administration. We'll be joining virtually. I hope she's not well. But otherwise, I have the expo members, the head of strategy and M&E will do the presentation as well as we do. I also have amongst us the new appointees. I think, I'm not sure whether we introduce them in August, but the new CIO as well as the CD for HR who joined us the 1st of September. Otherwise, the team is the same. So with your permission, Honorable Chairperson.
We have no problem to have those two newbies switching on their cameras for us to see and know them.
Thanks, Chairperson. We are presenting, as I've indicated, the Head of Strategy in M&E, as well as the Acting CFO will present the financials as part of the audit, of the annual report for the financial year ended 2021-22, which comes under very trying circumstances for the institution. As you all know, that we are faced with challenges. And then as part of the presentation, of course, the committee will note that we have lost the clean audit after four consecutive years of clean audit, due to, unfortunately, issues that we had to face. With those comments, Honorable Chairperson and members, I'll give into the Head of Strategy to take us through the report, and after which myself and the team shall take the questions and deal with the matters according to the program. Thank you so much.
Thank you, XG. Honorable Acting Chairperson and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. Good morning. My name is Itumere Malau, and I'll be taking you through the presentation in relation to the annual report for the Office of the Chief Justice for the financial year 2021-22. Honorable Acting Chair, my presentation is structured as follows. It's divided into four parts. We've got part A, which mainly focuses on the introductory part. Mainly focus areas are as follows: is the introduction, the vision, the mission, the values, the mandate of the OCJ, the legislative requirements and prescripts for annual report, the outcomes that we contribute to, as well as the medium-term strategic framework and our contribution to the National Development Plan. And part B will focus on the real business of the day, which is the overall performance of the OCJ. We'll also take the committee through our five-year journey, outlining the performance of the Office of the Chief Justice over the five-year period. And we'll also indicate the performance overview for the 2021-22 financial year. And we'll also focus on the performance per program, which will focus on the three programs that we have as per our budget program structure. And we'll move to part C, which will focus on the audit, AXA audit scope, as well as the 2021-22 audit outcome. And lastly, under part C, we'll focus on comparative analysis of the audit outcome of the Office of the Chief Justice for the past 3 years. And the final part, which is part D, will be the financial performance of the institution. And that will conclude our presentation, Chairperson.
Just to assist you, thank you. that part A is known to us and would have even read it, so it might help you not to go there and start with part B.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Chairperson, I'm moving now to slide 16, which is basically the first slide of part B. Chairperson, during the year under review, the Office of the Chief Justice has 24 targets planned on its APP. And out of the 24, we managed to achieve 21, meaning that three were not achieved. And then in percentages, the overall percentage achievement, we achieved 87.5%. And 12.5% was not achieved. The next slide, Chairperson, focus on performance per program. As already indicated, Chairperson, we operate through three distinct programs. The first program is administration, which is generic across government. And we've got program two, which is our core business. The program two is referred to as Superior Court Services. And we've got program three, which is judicial education and support. For program one, Chairperson, we had 14 planned targets. And out of the 14 planned targets, we achieved 11, and three were not achieved. In program two, which is the core business, Superior Court Services, we had six targets, and all six targets were achieved. Program three, we had four targets, and all four targets were achieved. And in totality, Chairperson, we had 24 planned targets, and out of the 24, 21 were achieved, and three were not achieved. The next slide, Chairperson, give a comparative analysis of our overall performance over, I think, a six-year horizon. As you can see, the Chairperson, in the 2016-17 financial year, we achieved 85%. In the 17-18, we achieved 100% of our targets. In the 18-19, we achieved 90% of our targets. 19-20, we achieved 70% of our targets. And 2021, we achieved 88%. And 21-22, we achieved 87.5%. Chairperson, I'm gonna skip the next slide as I'm going to talk about it in detail in part C. The next slide, which is slide 21, focuses on the overall key achievements that were recorded by the institution during the 2021-22 financial year. The first key achievement was unqualified audit outcome with material findings. Chairperson, as much as yes, we have regressed in terms of our performance, but we still regard this as an achievement. And the second one is the vacancy rate. We are able to keep our vacancy rate at 9.1%, which is below the 10% target as set out by the Department of Public Service. And we were also able to conduct 168 skills enhancing judicial education courses for judicial officers and aspirant judicial officers. And in totality, those courses were attended by 4,343 delegates. There was also a reduction on the risk of COVID-19 as a result of complying with all the relevant government prescripts and regulations. And as at the end of the financial year, Chairperson, the OCJ had 48% of women representation at SMS level. And we also had 32% of youth representation in the department staff complement. We're also able to achieve, Chairperson, 91% of quasi-judicial matters were finalized within the prescribed timeline as at the end of the 2021-22 financial year. And 55% of reported fraud cases were investigated within 60 working days as prescribed. And lastly, Chairperson, 29, we were able to conduct 29 awareness sessions on fraud prevention and anti-corruption strategy across the courts. Chairperson has already indicated we have three programs, which is administration, the first one, the second one is Superior Court Services, and the third one is Judicial Education and Support. The next slides now will focus on performance per program, and also outlining how we have, you know, performed, as well as the reasons for deviation and the corrective measures that has been advanced by the institution. With your permission, Chairperson, allow me please to focus on the targets that were not achieved, if that is in order, Chairperson. The first target that was not achieved was the target, the indicator was percentage of women representation in senior management services. And the annual target for that particular indicator was 50%. And the actual output was 48%, leaving us with a variance of 2%. And the reason for deviation that has been advanced was that a high turnover of female SMS members had an impact on the achievement of this particular target. And going forward, the OCJ plan to do as follows. The OCJ will put in place retention initiatives to attract and retain women at SMS level. The next target, which was not achieved, basically the indicator that was not achieved is percentage of people with disabilities representation in the department. And the target for that particular indicator was 2%. And the actual output was 1%. And that leaves us with a variance of 1%. And the reason for deviation is that the target strategies, which include amongst others, ring fencing, targeted advertising, as well as collaboration with NGOs, have not yielded the positive result as expected. And the corrective measures put in place by the institution is that the OCJ will issue guidelines and develop intervention plans in order to achieve this particular target. The last one under program one, which was not achieved, the indicator that was not achieved is called online system implemented at service centers. And the target for the 2021-22 was called online system rolled out at 2 service centers. And the actual output was called online system rolled, not rolled out at 2 service centers as planned. And the variance still the same, called online system not rolled out at 2 service centers as planned. And the reason for deviation is that during the user acceptance testing, which took place at 2 service centers, numerous defects were detected on the system. And corrective measures, the showstopper defects that delayed the piloting of the court online system has been resolved and was successful and signed off. And the court online pilot commenced at Gauteng Local Division, which is Johannesburg, on the 29th March 2022, and Gauteng Main Division, which is Pretoria, on the 4th April 2022. And it is envisaged that court online will be rolled out at 2 service centers during the first quarter of this financial year. Chairperson, those are the 3 targets that were not achieved under program 3. And obviously, I think with program 2, all the targets were achieved, as already indicated. I'm moving now, Chairperson, to program 3. The same applies to program 3. All the targets were achieved for the reporting period. And now, Chairperson, I'm moving to part C, which basically focuses on the Auditor General's audit outcome for the reporting period. The focus area for the AG for the reporting period, Chairperson, was on 3 areas. The first one was on annual financial statements, and the second focus area was on performance information, and the third one was on compliance and legislation. And in terms of annual financial statements, Chairperson, the outcome, the audit outcome, was that there were no material misstatements identified. And in terms of performance information, there were also no material findings on the usefulness and the reliability of the audited reported performance information. And unfortunately, on compliance in legislation, there were material non-compliance with key legislation as identified by the Auditor General. Chairperson, the next slide focuses on the control environment with emphasis also on the audit outcome. Chairperson, we regret to inform the committee that for the first time since the inception of this institution, the OCJ has since regressed on its audit outcome. As you can see, Chairperson, on the top left quadrant, there is a quadrant that focuses on the audit outcome. In the 2019-20, we received a clean audit. And then in the 2020, we got a clean audit, 2020-21. And unfortunately, in the 2021-22, as you can see there, we are yellow, meaning that we got an unqualified audit with findings. So, Chairperson, all I can indicate to members of the committee is that the OCJ acknowledges this outcome and is working tirelessly to ensure that we basically regain our audit, our clean audit status. And management is doing all it can to make sure that they put controls in place, especially around, you know, the area that cost us the clean audit, which is the area of supply chain. Moving to the top right quadrant, Chairperson, the focus is on the assurance levels. We've got two types of assurance levels there, the first level of assurance as well as the second level of assurance. On the first level of assurance, we've got the following areas: senior management, accounting officer, as well as executive authority. And as members can see there, senior management, Chairperson, was able to provide some assurance, and the accounting officer as well as the executive authority were able to provide assurance. And moving to the second level of assurance, which focuses on the audit committee as well as internal audit, both internal audit as well as the audit committee were able to provide assurance as required. Moving to the bottom right quadrant, the quadrant focuses on the status of drivers of internal controls, and it's got three main focus areas. The first one is leadership, the second one is financial and performance management, and the third one is governance. Under leadership, Chairperson, we are green in terms of the effective leadership culture, meaning that the leadership of this institution is able to provide effective leadership. And then we are also green under oversight responsibility. The only areas that are of concern is the areas relating to HR management, policies and procedures, audit action plans, as well as IT governance. And moving to financial and performance management, we are green in relation to proper record keeping, the processing and reconciling controls. And the areas that are of concern is regular reporting as well as IT system controls. And the last area under this category, Chairperson, which really needs serious intervention from management is compliance monitoring area, which was also under financial and performance management. And the last area, focus area, which is governance. As you can see there, Chairperson, we are all green in terms of risk management. Risk management was able to provide, you know, sound risk management controls. And we've got internal audit as well, which is green, and the audit committee, which is green. I'm moving now, Chairperson, to the risk areas, which is the bottom left quadrant. And under the risk areas, the following areas were identified as areas of concerns, which is the quality of submitted financial statement, as well as the information technology area. So those two areas were identified as two areas which are of great concern. And lastly, Chairperson, we've got an area which is supply chain management, as already indicated, is an area that cost us mainly, you know, our clean audit. And this is an area which requires serious intervention from management. And management has already indicated, Chairperson, is already putting controls around this area to ensure that what, you know, the same situation doesn't recur. And Chairperson, in terms of the quality of submitted performance information, we are green. In terms of financial health, we are green. And in terms of the human resource management, we are also green. The root causes that should be addressed by the institution going forward, Chairperson, the following has been identified by the Auditor General, is that the vacancy at senior management level should be filled as a matter of urgency, and inadequate controls around supply chain prescripts should be strengthened. Chairperson, that concludes our control environment, including our, you know, an analysis relating to our audit outcome. At this moment, Chairperson, allow me to pause here and hand over to the acting CFO, who will take the committee through the financial information. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Paloma Rabedi. I would like to be the chairperson and the portfolio committee members. I'll give the members to the financial performance.
We're struggling to hear you. You are in the same place like the previous presenter?
Yes, we are. Chairperson, with your indulgence, we're switching positions, so I'll just get nearer to the microphone.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry about that, Chair. Am I audible enough now?
It's better, not enough, but better.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Is I'll take the committee through the financial performance of the 2021-22. OCJ on this financial period had 2.360 billion, and then that was allocated as a budget. And then during this period, we had our actual expenditure was 2.2119 billion, of which our underspending was 140,696, which is almost 6%. According to our programs, which is administration, we had a 252,298 million, of which we spent 210, and then our underspending was 16.7%. And then on the superior courts, the budget was 1.791 billion 720, and then we had spent on the superior courts we had 929,120. And then we had spent 902,634, which our underspending was 2.9%. And then on judicial support, education and support, we had 6,362, of which our actual expenditure was 43,385. Our underspending was 28.1%. And then the under direct charge, which is for the judges, we had 1.118,421. Of which we spent 1.063342. Our underspending under direct charge was 4.9%. Our total overall underspending was 6% compared to 2020-21, which was 8.3%. When we go to economic classification, our spending as per economic classification under compensation, we had 1.791720. Of which we spent almost everything. I think it was also due to budget cuts by National Treasury. And then under goods and services, we had 312, of which we spent 262 million, which we underspent with 16% under goods and services. And then on transfers and subsidies, which is mainly the leave gratuities for the judges, we had 135,734. We spent 75,443, and then we had underspent with 44.4%. And then for capital assets, we had underspent with 25.4%, which was the allocated budget as 121,84. And then we had actual expenditure of 89,715. We had underspent with 30,469, which overall underspending is 140,696, which total again to the 6%. And then the reasons for our underspending is because on the compensation of budget, compensation of employees, we had to do some variants from, we had to transfer funds from goods and services to compensation. So the 190 that was left is because we had over projected the transfer of funds from goods and services to compensation. Goods and services, we had underperformed because of most of the IC infrastructure were delayed by the overseas manufacturers, and then there was a backlog on the server equipment. And then on the purchase of capital assets, there was a delay due to the delivery of server and the ICT end user equipment also is due to the overseas manufacturing delays, which they had a backlog. I think it's because of also COVID. And then on the under at the other underspending under program two is due to the savings on the catering, the traveling, because during COVID, most of the people were not traveling. And then also venues and facilities, we couldn't use a lot of venues due to COVID restrictions. Also on the fleet and services, we didn't utilize most of the vehicles during this period. Under program three, our underspending was due to savings on the judicial training expenses, because as the traditional in-person training of judicial officers was switched from hiring of training venues to virtual training due to COVID-related lockdown restrictions. And then for judges, the underspending was on the transfer and subsidies that we used to pay for the judges' leave gratuities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. That basically, Chairperson, concludes our presentation in relation to the annual report. And we'd really like to thank the Portfolio Committee Chairperson for their continued oversight in ensuring that the department continues to execute its mandate effectively. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. We and members of the committee, we are ready to take the questions from you, and the team is here to assist you.
Thank you, SG, and your team. Maybe before I invite members, just something that you can address as the SG. There would have been an expectation that after you delivered this presentation on the annual report, that you would have utilized the part of today's time to brief the members on the procurement matters that would have been dealt with before by the committee as an update, but we have not received any report or presentation in that regard, which indicates that you would not be ready to do that today. Is that your understanding? By when can we get that if we don't have it today before I go to members?
Thank you, Chairperson.
That is separate from the annual report, but there was an understanding of that update after the annual report presentation.
Yes, Honorable Chairperson and members, that is noted. And my understanding was that we present the annual report concluded, and then thereafter, I will make the comments and the update on the irregularities around the procurement separately.
Okay.
Because I would like to first make opening remarks on that separately from the annual report. If may the Chairperson and the members indulge me on that.
That's fine, you can hold back on that and you will attend to whether by then you have a prepared presentation, but let's hold back on that. Let me invite members to interact with the annual report presentation. Honourable members. Are you all happy and covered? I recognize Honourable Yoliswa Yako, followed by Honourable Velma Livo-Druchen, Honourable Maseko Jele, in that order. Honorable Yako.
Diabulela kakhulu, Chair. Excuse the background noise. I think there's something happening just outside. I think what we've been receiving from the departments is a very broad picture of what is actually happening, and it doesn't go through to the meat of the bones as to exactly what the picture really honestly looks like, because if you found yourself backsliding financially from the point of the HG, then it means that there's something that you're not quite doing right. Another point I wanted to make is the issue of, I think the previous speaker spoke about 50% being the target for female women in senior leadership, and that not being met. He also alluded to the fact that they feel that it's a priority to have women in positions of power because they contribute so much. But if then it's a priority for women to be in positions of power, why hasn't that not been met? So it speaks of a depreciousness on the part of the department if you say one thing and do another. And my last point, I have a problem with 2% being a target for employment of people with living with disabilities. For me, it somehow infantilizes people who live with disabilities as if they don't have cognitive dissonance to do the work they're supposed to do, and it's a bit ableist. And I feel that 2% honestly is the bottom of a bar that you can put for a target. And it offends me a little bit that they would put that there as a target and they still didn't even meet the target. They only went up to as far as 1%. So it means that that is not even something that they embody themselves. So I think, Chair, that is my contribution to this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Yako. Honorable Valma.
Good morning, Chair. Just waiting for the host to spotlight me. If the host can spotlight Honorable Nyoro Druchen, please. Thank you. Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to all the members on the platform, and good morning to the Office of the Chief Justice. Thank you very much for your presentation. I would like to add on what the Honourable Member who's just spoken said in relation to women in senior positions and people with disabilities. I would like to know that, you know, I would like to know what is the progress on achieving these targets, because we've heard this before for the past 2-3 years. We've been hearing the same story. So can you give us a progress update, please? And then your audit, the screen with the audit with all the different colors, and then yellow, the items in yellow are quite concerning. So leadership concerns with HR policy, and the audit actions, IT governance. So these were the areas of concern raised by the AG. Could you give us a progress update on what you have been doing to rectify these situations instead of leaving them as areas of concern? And you had said there's IT and another item that have not been delivered from overseas, and there's a delay. Is there still a delay as we speak, or is this something that is now in progress, the delivery of the capital assets? I would like to understand, there's a part where it says non-compliance of legislation. I would like to understand why there is non-compliance with legislation. How can that be, and why is it there? Why is it happening? It's always a big concern to see something like that. Then going back to the matter of women in leadership positions, one reason you propose today is the high turnover of women employees. I would like to understand then, why is there such a high turnover of women? Did you do exit interviews to find out what are the issues? Why are so many women leaving the organization? And in terms of underspending, you know, we've noted that and as an area of concern. And the judicial officers and their training. I would like to know, you know, the training that was supposed to be given, was it completed or is it ongoing? And then in relation to, I'm just trying to read my handwriting. In relation to basic and advanced computer literacy skills and writing of judgments, is that something that you are continuing or progressing with? And are there still any delays in terms of the court modernization process and the digitalization progress process? Are you still experiencing delays? Are you still experiencing procurement issues? If you could just give an update on that. That's what I have so far, Che. Thank you very much. If the host can unpin the honorable member.
Thank you, Honorable Nivo Drachen. Honorable Maseko Jelle.
Thank you very much, Chair, and a good morning to the SG and the team. Chairperson, I just want to also reiterate that which was said by my colleague in one or two things, emphasizing the we note, Chairperson, that there is a drop in the performance of the department, and there are quite a number of things that are really concerning, Chairperson. Let me start first with this one of women. We are about to finish our term, Chairperson. We still talk the issue of not complying with the targets, meeting the targets of women, and that one of disability people, Chairperson. I think the department must be very much taking this thing serious. We can't be talking outside empowerment of women and they are doing something else. I think it is important that they have to note that when they come back, Chairperson, we don't want to hear this again. Indeed, we are very much disappointed. I hear the presenter saying they regret dropping the ball. We also regret, Chair. They've been doing very well. We don't know what is happening. Maybe they will tell us exactly. We won't talk about the issue of COVID now. We know that it did have an impact, but on some other issues, Chair, we want to register our disappointment, especially on the issue of non-compliance, Chair. Honorable Velma did indicate on that point about the non-compliance. It says here, Chairperson, non-compliance with CETA Act regulations. What I don't understand is that, is it a new thing working with CETAs? Because they've been working with CETAs. Now they are, there's this report that we are getting. So we need some explanation on that one, Chair. Or to me, it came like, is it something that is done deliberately in some other corner so that people do their own things? Because I don't understand if they have been following this thing of complying with the procedures in terms of a procurement through CETA, and now they are dropping the ball. It is really concerning, Chair. I think they need to really give us more explanation on that. Because my concern, Chair, on this is that it is so difficult. I think the departments need to appreciate the efforts that we do when we go and for debates and fight for them to get increase on this budget. And we come back, we find such reports. It is really concerning, Chair. We can't be going and motivate for them to get more monies, and we come and get the fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 6,000 because of somebody who did not do his work. And they were being told that this matter also is still under investigation. Investigation of what, Chair? Because this it's 1 point, it's 6,000 chairperson and 34 rand, which is accumulated because of the interest of the late payment. Somebody did not do his job somewhere. So this thing has to be taken serious. People should be disciplined, Chair. There is no way that we can keep on coming here talking about one thing always with the department, wasteful expenditure, irregular expenditure. For the whole of 28 years as a government, no. And we keep on going and motivate more money for them. Give them money. They come irregular. They come wasteful expenditure. No, Chair. Something must be done. We want to be taken serious. We cannot continue this way. On this issue of the expenditure management, Chair, effective and appropriate steps were not taken to prevent irregular expenditure of about 52 million. Who was supposed to do that, Chairperson? Really, who was supposed to take care of that if it's not the senior management? No, Chairperson, let us be taken serious. On the issue also of the issue of a investigation on the which were reported on the media, Chair, on the caseline procurements. Even though there are investigation in this area, but Chair, this thing has to have been identified by the normal audit processes. What is happening here, there? Because the normal audit processes, they are the one who must flag these issues before they can be taken to the public protector to be investigated, or the AG raising consent and all those things. So this morning, Chair, we are really not happy with this report. We don't want to come back again and find the department going down and down. This is the first one that, yes, we've been noting such things, but now they're also agreeing themselves that indeed there's something wrong. So we need that something wrong to be corrected. So please, can the department take us serious? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Maseko Jele. I now recognize Honorable Breitenbach. I hope your line is better now. Honorable Breitenbach, are you able to speak? Okay, I don't see her. She seems to be even out of the system. Honorable Swart.
No, thank you, Chair, and thank you for the Office of the Chief Justice for the submission and the report. I just want to share the concerns expressed by other speakers about the regression of the audit outcomes and performance. There are quite a number of aspects that other speakers have referred to. I won't repeat it, as well as the issues around the case lines procurements. Chair, I raised an issue when the department appeared before us relating to issues at the Supreme Court of Appeal relating to infrastructure arising from our visit to the Supreme Court of Appeal. And I would like to know, it was suggested that I rather put these questions to the Office of the Chief Justice, which I'd like to do now. I would like to know what, and I appreciate that a lot of these issues do lie with Public Works, but I would like to know that since our visit, what progress has been made on the various issues that were raised, in particular relating to the roof repairs, the air conditioning, and what was deeply concerning was load shedding that occurred at the Supreme Court of Appeal when apparently down the road at the High Court, there was no load shedding. So I would just like to know feedback in that regard very briefly. Thank you, Chair, for that opportunity.
Thank you, Honorable Swart. Thank you very much. Honorable Breitenbach, are you back? Okay, she seems to be struggling on her line. Thank you, honorable members. That was the last hand and contribution. SG and your team, it's now an opportunity for maybe before that, honorable Engelbrecht.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have intermittent communication with honorable Breitenbach, and she would just like to pose, or she wanted to pose a question in terms of the reasons for the underspending by the department, by this entity, and if that could be, if they can go into that in more detail. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Engelbrecht. I think the point is made quite clear. SG and your team, from Honorable Yako to Honorable Breitenbach through Engelbrecht's question, all of the members, I now hand over to you and your team.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. It is indeed a very difficult one year for us. And personally, I am not proud of the regression of the audit outcome. And myself and my team worked very hard in the last 5 years to ensure that our performance is at acceptable levels. Yes, there are challenges. Yes, there are lapses, but pockets, as our annual report has indicated. But myself and the team will deal with the questions, and those areas that falls within the other aspects, we'll deal with that as we have agreed. Maybe firstly to deal with the issue around the women being below 50% and the people with disabilities. We have indicated in our previous reports to the portfolio committee that we are putting in measures, and we are really taking women 50% target seriously. And there was, I think, in the last few months in the EXCO and the ARC reports, governance reports, we do report about this because they are part of the heads of departments performance management system. And there was a stage where we actually reached over 50%. I think went to 51 or 53%. 51%. So the question is, maybe before I go to that, by the end of September 2022, women at SMS level was 51%, and people with disabilities was 1.6%. Yes, 1.6% is below the 2% that is required, but we are making efforts to address this. We have also made sure that we identify those positions that will be targeted in the institution to ensure that the women and the people with disabilities issues are addressed. As you know, our institution is over 30% threshold of the youth, which we consistently maintain. So we will continue to do that. I have noted the concerns of the members that we are not taking women seriously, and I would like to assure them that we really do, and I appreciate your concerns. And the reasons why women leave, I think purely because it's an area that deals with women, it gives the impression that specifically only women leave. Attrition happens in all our institutions, and if it happens that it is women at the SMS level who get better opportunities and pursue other career persuasions, obviously, it is beyond one's control. So in that context, honorable members, I would like to say that it is not because there's something wrong with women. I am a women leader myself, and I have not left. And I lost one of my star women performers. And I could understand, because if you are good, other institutions will grab you. And that's life, that's what happens. But we strive to make sure that we still contain and reach the 50%. As I've said, we're already at 51. The other aspect relating to modernization, no, there was a question around the delays in judgments. I'm not sure I will just defer on that because it falls in the judicial space. We've dealt with the turnover. There's a question raised around the audit actions and the ICT governance. I would like to deal with this in two broad terms. One, to indicate that whilst myself and the EXCO are not impressed with ourselves because we have dropped in terms of the audit outcome, but I think context is important because the organization has been performing well ever since. Yes, in terms of ICT governance, we have hit a rock where the irregular expenditure occurred, as already indicated, 52 million, because of the compliance issues. The compliance relates to the CETA Act procurement processes, which I have already taken action myself to engage at the high level with the CETA leadership to look at this issue so that the SCM as well as the entire institution when it comes to procurement around ICT, that aspect and that risk is managed. The question has been asked, we should have foreseen that, yes. From year to year when we do our both internal and AG does audit us, these issues are lifted. But I do not want to cast any aspersions on any institution that is not part of. But I did have a discussion myself with the Auditor General on these issues and relating to the CETA compliance. And obviously they have made their own acknowledgement, which I will not in the public space deal with. But in terms of our internal audit and risk management, we have recognized that we'll have to up the internal controls in relation to that. Safe to say that the irregular expenditure does not necessarily mean, obviously the irregular expenditure that relates to ICT and its governance and the audit outcome that has dropped us have to be dealt with. But I would like to assure the committee that the services and the goods that were required, they are not necessarily that they are not value for money or they were not required. I am not making an excuse that we shouldn't have done what we're supposed to be doing, but I'm just wanting to assure the committee that we did require those services, we did require those goods, and to the extent that they have been consumed, it is because we have received value for money and continue to do so. And to the extent that there are issues, we are dealing with it, and I will explain some of the issues, deal with some of the areas in the next part of the issues. Can the CFO deal with the underspending aspect or such check other products? Underspending. The reasons for the underspending.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Chair. On the underspending, as we have already indicated, that it was due to the delay on the deliveries of the ICT infrastructure, of which ICT, they have confirmed that currently the equipment has been delivered in this current financial year. So the expenditure has been monitored on a monthly basis. So we have received all those goods. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, on the issues of the SCA. I can report that subsequent to the visit by the portfolio committee, as well as the issues that were raised between the OCJ, the DPW, as well as the DOJ, we are looking at the issues from the facilities point of view. And also to highlight that it is not in the control entirely of the OCJ. DPW still stands with the mandate, and we are a user, and the Department of Justice still retain the functions relating to facilities management. But however, the at a high level, the DDG for Port Administration has already visited. The SCA met with the judges as well as the officials at the SCA to look at these issues and also ensure that we address the aspects that have been raised. What I can at high level indicate is that with regard to the roof, UPW has already appointed a contractor to attend to the issues of the leaks. There were issues around the ramps as well as the air conditioner. We are still awaiting the DPW with the progress report concerning the construction of the ramp that is required. On the air conditioning, we are also an urgent letter requesting the servicing of the units at the SCA has already been done, and we are awaiting that they should be responding to do with that. We are in contact, myself personally, with the acting DG of Public Works on some of the issues that relate to facilities on a continuous basis. This is not only on the SCA, but for other areas as well. There was another issue around the load shedding. Load shedding that was at the SCA, whilst at the High Court, there was no load shedding. Just to indicate, Honorable Chairperson and members, that the reason is that the High Court managed to get a situation where the national key points will be ring fenced with regard to load shedding. And that arrangement has been in place with regard to the High Court. And we are working on doing the same thing with regards to the Constitutional Court as well as the SCA. And that matter is still under discussion between us, DPW, as well as the local municipalities to ensure that we also cover the apex court and the next highest court in the land with regards to that. That is the explanation why the High Court it is done and is not yet implemented in the SCA, which decision does not lie with the OCJ. The irregular expenditure of 52 million, as I've already alluded to partly to that, to indicate that the due processes with regards to investigation in terms of the PFMA is ongoing to determine the causes as well as for the consequence managed processes to take place. And that relates to the irregular expenditure. But as I've said, I still reiterate, we needed the services. We have received value for money where there are issues of untoward action with regards to contracting. Besides the CETA compliance, we are dealing with that. And I will make other comments later on that. There was a question in drop in performance, I think, and women, I think we have I have addressed the issue with regards to the drop in the performance. With regard to modernization, delays in modernization, and I think I would like to approach the response in two ways to say, yes, we are on track with regards to modernization and procurement, save for the issues that have been highlighted with regards to the CETA compliance and the snag that we have hit with the procurement irregularities issues that have been raised, which is under appropriate response processes in this regard. But otherwise, the modernization process is still going on. And the court online, I will make comments on that. It is still going on. We are securing the business continuity to ensure that the system continues to perform in the High Court where it is currently being implemented, save for the issues that we are faced with. I'm not sure if I covered everything. Oh, okay. Yes, Dr. Moshe will deal with the Sajay question.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. On the question is on training on judgment lighting and computer literacy. Just to give the committee a rundown of what happened in 2021 and 2022. The judgment writing training was conducted for judges. Judges training takes place in July, as that is the only time when they have a longer recess period. We, if you remember, there was that appointment of 155 district magistrates. judgment writing as well as computer literacy was part of the training that they that was conducted. Also for newly appointed senior magistrates, we have a special course of a week or two for senior magistrates that have just been appointed, and part of their curriculum includes judgment writing. Also at all levels, we do conduct training for aspiring judicial officers, that is judges, regional court magistrates and district magistrates. Judgment writing is also part of that. And there's been continuing judgment writing training for district court magistrates as part of our civil court skills. Computer literacy also as a part of the period that we are reporting on, we focused on the use of functionalities for conducting virtual trainings on as hearings. I can also report that those two areas of judgment writing and computer literacy are still part of the curriculum for this current financial year. Thank you, Chairperson and SG.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. Maybe just to add one or two aspects before we hand over to you, Chair. Just to indicate that in the year 2022, at the women representation at SMS level, we have always been above 45%. And in the year 2021, we have always been above 45%. And the year 2022, we picked up above 50% in June, July, August we're at 50, and September we are at 55. So we have 4 months in 2022 that we have been above 50%. The comments that I also want to add with regards to the concerns around the decline in the performance of the institution, which is largely really related to the compliance with regards to procurement. As the presentation has indicated, other areas do not have issues. That is the main core that dropped our audit outcome. I have, after presenting the audit annual report to the minister, also submitted to the minister a turnaround plan in terms of how the institution is going to address all these other issues that have arisen out of the annual report and that has cost us the clean audit. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you, SG. Follow-ups, honorable members. I recognize Honorable Engelbrecht, followed by Honorable Horn, and Honorable Maseko Jelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What progress has been made with the Thomson Reuters issue investigation? And also, when did the SG become aware of the Thomson Reuters bid by Office of the Chief Justice employees?
Thank you, Honorable Engelbrecht. Honorable Horn.
Yes, thank you, Chair. And firstly, my apologies for joining late, but I couldn't secure a flight last night and I was therefore forced to take an early morning flight. Chair, just one question from my side, and that is that in preparing for the meeting, when I went through the annual report of the Office of the Chief Justice, I didn't see the annual report of the Judicial Service Commission, which is in terms of the Act supposed to be an annexure to the OCJ annual report. This is unfortunately not the first time it has happened, and we must inquire where it is, why has it not been, as the Act required, attached as an annexure, and when will it then be formally submitted? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Horn. Maseko Jelly.
Thank you, Chairperson. My follow-up question on training, Chairperson. There have been some concerns, public concerns, and about the judgments that the judges are not writing these judgments for themselves, and all those allegations in terms of around that. I just want to find out, Chair, on the how long on the effectiveness of these trainings. How long are they being undergone? What is the period of this training, and how often have been done in order to make sure that people keep up and they don't drop the ball, Chairperson, when it comes to these issues of judgments? I'll tell you why my concern. It's because if this is an issue around these issues of judgments, Chair, my worry is that there are so many judgments that makes the public to sometimes raise their eyebrows when it comes to the dissatisfaction of some of these judgments. But I just want to know exactly in terms of this. We're not saying judgments are wrong and whatever, but I'm trying to say, Chair, how long are these trainings and how often have been undertaken? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Masako Jele. SG, if you could attend to the two follow-up questions of Honorable Horn and Honorable Masako Jele, you might have to hold back on Honorable Engelbrecht's one because you still need to make a presentation on that as a briefing and update. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. I will give the CEO of SAJAY to respond on the training and the effectiveness of training programs on the judgment writing, etc. She can make that comment. On the JSC report, yes, it was not attached to the annual report because it is not the report of the institution, which is the administration. Because the Section 6.1 of the JSC Act requires the JSC to submit this report, and the Chief Justice did by letter to the Speaker and the Chair of the NCOP did comply with the Section 6.1 of the Act and submitted the JSC report as such. And it was due on the 30th of September 2022. And the Chief Justice did submit it on the 29th of September, duly to the Parliament, in line with the requirements of the Act. So the report has been submitted, Honorable Chairperson. And over to SAJAY to deal with the effectiveness of training and judgment writing.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, SG. In relation to the judges, the training takes place, like I said before, in July during the recess, which is a longer recess than all other recess periods that are there. Normally the judgment writing will be part of a four-day program. It differs on the needs that have been expressed for that particular year. For example, this year, as part of the program, we had judgment writing by the full bench, and that was for about 3 hours, and that was followed by discussions from judges to hear what their challenges are and how can those challenges be addressed. At the district magistrates level, the institute has started with looking at matters that go to the High Court on review. And the researchers are doing it, and they have done actually the analysis of issues that are raised by High Court judges on those matters that go on review. And as a result, those reports then we share with the Chief Magistrate. For example, as part of last year financial year, we shared a report with the Chief Magistrate of Gauteng, of Johannesburg in particular, on the issues that we raised, that we have picked up on matters that have gone on review. I need to mention that we have not really done any work on the analysis of the judgments that are produced at High Court level. And we know the concerns, and we see how we can be able to address those concerns from the training perspective. Thank you, SG and the Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. I think we have covered the rest of the annual comments. And over to you, Chair, unless you wanted to proceed to,
okay,
to the issue that you have raised with the impropriety around procurement.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll go to that now, just to check with the Secretariat, Sia and Bonani, just to confirm, have we received this JSC report, as far as you are aware? Or must that be something we check with the Office of the Speaker?
Okay.
Yes, Chairperson, we're just quickly checking, but we have established that the report has been tabled.
Okay.
We will circulate it to members after this meeting.
All right, no, that's fine. We'll attend to that. Thank you. Thank you for that update. Honorable members, we will step off the annual report interactions now, there being no further follow-up. And I'm going to, as I indicated earlier, it would have been the expectation of the committee that would utilize some of this opportunity when the OCJ comes to us to give us progress and update on the procurement matters. I'm going to invite the SG, because Honorable Engelbrecht has already raised the first question in relation to that, to speak to us about that. And
thank you, Honorable. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. As Chairperson, as you have already indicated, you had expectations that would have made that, and you asked the question, if not, when are we ready? And I think that comment is quite relevant to what I am going to present. I will not be presenting a formal report as such as we do the annual report with regards to the procurement irregularities. Not because I am abdicating or avoiding accountability with regards to that. I take full responsibility as accounting officer of my duties to report. But I would like to make the following comments and assure the committee that at the appropriate time, the details will be ventilated and I will present them as such. The procurements that are relating to impropriety with regards to case lines as well as PKC, we have done the following as the institution. I think what is in the public space is common knowledge. We have not commented ourselves on the public space after the media reports. We said we are going to do an internal investigation and do assessment of the ICT space procurement. And we have done so. I activated the internal audit, the forensic audit unit of the institution to ensure that we do an investigation internally. We have collected the information because at the time we indicated that we need to determine first the facts before we can speak on these issues. And that process took place. And the internal forensic investigation unit did do their investigation. And we have realized as we were going through that investigation, given the capacity constraints in the institution, that the issues and their complexity will require more in terms of skills to be able to get to the level of the matters. And as a result, we seconded through this SIU secondment arrangement, but they beef up our team to make sure that the investigation can go deeper, which we have done. Subsequent to that, the investigation has been concluded from our side internally. The report has been submitted in September, and we are now at the stage that the investigation must continue further with regards to what has come out. As I've said, the findings and the recommendations that are in that report are still interim because the Audi Alteram Partem rule still has to be complied with, so that whomever is either implicated or mentioned in the report, whatever the case may be, they have the right of reply and the right of response in relation to whatever that is mentioned inside the report. And as I've said, the report is completed from our side. We must do the alteram partem process now so that those recommendations and findings can now be dealt with in that regard. In addition to that, we have been in consultation or in engagement with the Thomson Reuters with regards to the contract, as well as with regard to business continuity on that contract. And the both parties have agreed that the system as it is now being implemented in Gauteng Division of the High Court continues to be supported and continue to function in the civil environment so that we save the system in that regard. In addition to that, the OCJ together with the council are busy with draft papers, as we have communicated to Thomson Reuters that we will be going to court with regards to the contract for its review. And that process is in the hands of our legal counsel, who is busy with papers, which should be, in all probabilities, reaching the court within a month or within 6 weeks. That is with regards to Thomson Reuters. I think we have noted what statements that were made by Thomson Reuters in the public space with regards to their position with a subcontractor, and the OCJ has noted that. With regards to the PKC, we have also, as part of the investigation, because also an internal investigation ensued, in relation to that contract, there is an urgent application this morning as we speak. The PKC has taken us to court because we refused to pay in terms of the contracts due to the issues that has arisen as a result of that contract, and we have indicated or filed a notice to oppose the matter, which we are doing today on an urgency basis, as well as filed papers with regards to the review of this contract. And it's a contract relating to 24 million with regards to TMVP, which is the threat and vulnerability management program. So those two processes are before the courts. We have also approached the SIU for a proclamation with regards to these contracts so that the matters can be delved in much deeper than they are. So with regards to that, Honorable Chairperson and members, I would like to indicate that at this stage, I will not be able to ventilate the issues that come from our report until the alteram partem process is completed. And also that this report is also going to feed into the investigations with regards to Section 34 PECA, which is already with the law enforcement agency, as well as with regards to the High Court processes that are ensuing, as I have indicated. And I would like to urge and ask the members of the committee for indulgence so that once these processes are completed, then we can be able to provide an appropriate response to the committee, lest I open the organization to legal challenge for exposing what the report is saying without the right of reply or response from the affected parties. That is the comments that I wanted to make, Honorable Chairperson and members, with regards to the impropriety around procurement with regards to the ICT contracts that have been mentioned. In addition, maybe to also allude and emphasize, as I've said, I've met with the head of CETA so that both our teams can begin to work together with regards to the CETA Act compliance issues where relevant, and I have also provided to the minister a plan in terms of how we are going to turn around the issues that we are faced with. Safe also to mention that part of the report relates also
besides the third party and the other issues that comes out of it, to the, our internal control environment, which is part of the turnaround strategy that we have submitted to the minister. That is my comments and report to an update to the committee, Honorable Chairperson and members. Thank you.
Thank you, SG. Honorable members, there you have it. What we have is a heads up on a report, a detailed report on its way to us, still in progress with limitations of audit processes and so on. I now invite your comments and reflections on this verbal presentation at this stage. Honorable Horn, followed by Honorable Druchen.
Yes, thank you, Chair. From my side, I mean, and the attorney's letter has been circulated to members of the committee. So we obviously do not want to through our oversight and the exercise of our oversight, muddy the waters. However, Chair, it remains a concern that twice now there has been set a date for the Office of the Chief Justice to come and report on the issue. And in both instances, basically, a veil of secrecy ultimately is being placed over the matter. And from an oversight perspective, we must say that it is unacceptable. So let me then maybe just repeat the questions the Honorable Maseko Jele has already asked in question, which is of course based on specific findings already made by the Auditor General and which the Auditor General pointed out when it presented on it on the audit outcomes of the OCJ. And that is the two issues. The SG has now already referred to a meeting now with CETA to iron out issues. And as part of oversight, we must then ask, given the fact that the Act is very clear, given the fact that the SG, as the accounting officer of this institution, was at all times under an obligation to follow the Act, why was the Act not followed? That's a very simple question. And it's based on the AG making already a finding that there was non-compliance with the Act. The second issue which the AG has already made a finding of is the fact that the period for which this bid was advertised and was effectively open was 9 days instead of the 21. And we must ask, why was that done? And let me maybe also add, as the third question, if there were specific reasons for the decision on the part of the OCJ to not use CETA, to use a truncated period, was there National Treasury concurrence on this approach? Was there at least an attempt to notify National Treasury or engage National Treasury? And if not, why not? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Horn, Honorable Leibold.
Thank you very much, Chair. And thank you to the SG for your briefing. I have two questions. I didn't have a chance to, I see the email has been sent, but I haven't had a chance to read the report. It is very difficult for me to watch the meeting and then read the report. I would just like to ask, well, I'd like to check the Thompson's made a statement. Can you just tell us briefly what it is, seeing as I haven't had a chance to read the report? And then the letter from Ganta attorneys, the letter that attorney was sent to the committee, and I see that it hasn't been copied. So I don't know if you use SG received this letter that was sent to the committee. And if yes, has the SG responded to the allegations against herself or not? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Velma Nimot, on that. SG, responses to those reflections by the two members.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. I am noting the concerns of the committee with regards to concerns around indicating what the content of the report is saying. And but I'm comforted by the fact that the member is saying that he doesn't want to muddy the waters. But I would like to assure the committee that there is no veil of secrecy that we are placing on this matter. And as soon as the alternate process has happened, the report obviously will be opened, and that I've said it's going to serve in the courts. They're going to be part of the processes in the courts with regards to these contracts. With regards to that, on the issues that the AG has raised, I have indicated that already we have, as an institution, looked at why the issues were raised in terms of the audit findings and what are we doing about it. Some of the issues entails in the plan that we have submitted to the minister, that we are going to look at ensuring that the internal control systems are being attended to. We are going to ensure that the conflict of interest matters are deepened in terms of those who sit in the procurement processes and all that. As part of that, we can send to the committee the plan that we've submitted to the minister so that the committee can look at that in terms of what we are trying to do in that space. And also say to indicate that we also have the new chief director, CIO in ICT, who joined in September, the 1st of September 2022, who will also assist us with regards to ensuring that we address the issues at the ICT level. So there is no veils of secrecy, honorable members. And as I've indicated, as soon as those who need to make a response have made that response, these matters will be dealt with, be it administratively within ourselves in the institution or external, where the courts or the law enforcement agencies has to deal with these matters. I am not hiding anything. I have nothing to hide. Myself and the executive of this department officials will subject themselves to whatever processes that needs to happen out of what the outcomes of these processes will be. It is unfortunate that I wouldn't like to open the institution to legal challenges and objections where I have to reveal some of the things ahead of time. With regards to CETA and why CETA Act was not followed, I have indicated that in addition to engaging with the CETA itself to make sure that we address these aspects, it is an oversight on the side of the institution, but this was not done. It is a fact it was not picked up in the institution in terms of our internal controls. In other areas with regards to case lines, we were working with CETA and we were under the impression that we actually were compliant, but that does not excuse us. If the OEG says that there was not compliance, the law is the law, we must uphold it and follow it in that sense. And I still want to assure the members, nothing in these contracts was something that was not valued for money. No product or service was procured through this process, which the institution did not need. In that sense, it is an internal control lapse that has happened, and which in our audit plan we are addressing. With regards to the period of the bid of 9 days instead of 21 days, this matter is one of those that are under investigation. As the members would know, when there is a regular expenditure, it is the law that there must be investigations and consequence management has to follow. So with that regards, this matter is under investigation. There was a question around the statement. No, there was before I step out on the CETA issue, whether the was a national treasury national treasury concurrence with regards to the sole source. It's on TR. Whether there was national treasury's concurrence. It is part of, I think on this matter, what can reveal that, because the papers are already there. When we were engaging with Treasury on the TR matter with regard to sole source, there was a protracted engagement between them, between Treasury and us with regards to that. And the Treasury did note that. But obviously this is water under the bridge, because now the entire contract is subject to review, as well as it's going to the court and everything's gonna fall up in that process. There was a question around the statement and what it is. I was dated September 2022. In the letter, in the media statement, from Thomson Reuters, it was referring to Thomson Reuters calls for re-tendering of court document management system. And indicating how for over 170 years they have operated in the markets around the globe, and their values and principles have not changed. They are committed to the high standards of ethics and integrity. I'm not reading the statement verbatim. It can be sent to the committee. I'll just focus on the maybe the pertinent issues. In the statement, they indicated that there have been questions raised about the contract. The Office of the Chief Justice awarded to Thomson Reuters for provision of its evidence sharing solution, which is case lines, and the actions of the OCJ's former senior officials. And as a company, RT, Thomson Reuters, they are guided by the principle of integrity, independence, and freedom from bias. And in line with these principles, we have launched a formal investigation on the matter, we meaning Thomson Reuters. And the statement says, at the start of its investigation, Thomson Reuters suspended all work with the former senior officials of the OCJ, and they have not been paid. They have not paid these officials, these former officials of the OCJ, nor have they received any payment from the OCJ with regards to case lines. Thomson Reuters case line solution has facilitated access to justice and smooth running of the high courts in Gauteng since 2019 to ensure continued support is provided to the court system, and they'll continue to provide the case line products and associated services to the OCJ, and which confirms what we have indicated, that ourselves and Thomson Reuters have agreed on business continuity so that the system does not suffer. The statement also indicates, amongst others, that given the circumstances and their ongoing discussions with the OCJ, they believe that the proper path forward should be for the OCJ to re-tender the contract in an open and transparent competitive process. And similarly, Thomson Reuters is also seeking legal advice in relation to the termination of the contract with the OCJ former senior employees, former officials. So the rest of the statement really dealing with principles of investigation. They believe investigation into the situation must continue so that any wrongdoing or impropriety throughout is addressed and appropriate actions are taken, and they make a commitment to the people of South Africa that as a company, they'll do their part to assist the ongoing investigation so that any wrongdoing is addressed. I did not read verbatim, but I was just highlighting the aspects that that were indicated. And the statement will be sent through our offices to the honorable members. And the other question was relating to the letter by the attorneys. Yes, I have seen the letter. And it is true that the three former officials had not yet started trading when they negotiated the contract with TR, as they had indicated. However, that does not mean that their conduct was not lawful and cannot divulge more details until the Audi alteram process is completed. Honorable Chairperson, I think I've covered all the issues that were raised in this matter. Unless this other one, I'll take more questions.
Okay. Before we wrap up, Honorable Horn, your last point.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Given the fact that the SG says there's no veil of secrecy, can we inquire, what I've now surmised is that the indication is that the investigation, let's say the preliminary part of it, is then completed and the SG says Audi must now be given effect to. What is the timelines which the OCJ foresee for that to happen? And by when would there then be a finalized report taken into account the explanations or reactions of those implicated in the report to be worked into the report? So basically the question ultimately is, by when can we then expect the report? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I was going to go to that point. Thank you for covering it. Can you respond to that, SG?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. We plan to complete this process within a month to 6 weeks. Can the committee give us 6 weeks within which then I will report to the committee on the process as well as the what needs to be communicated to the committee on these matters with regards to the investigation of the process.
Okay, thank you. So, Committee Secretary, we would expect before we rise this year to get a briefing session, a report back updated towards the end of November for this report. That would cover the 6 weeks. We not want to do it in 2023. We want to do it still in 2022. Just note that, and then we'll have to program that. Thank you. I think that's it, honorable members, both on the annual report and this update and briefing. Important, even though at this stage is still verbal, we will wait until the processes are completed and to take the assurance of the SG to come back to us, certainly before we rise as Parliament. If there are no further issues to raise, colleagues, we will adjourn our meeting there and meet tomorrow with the Special Investigations Unit to receive their annual report. And I'm told that meeting is at 2, correct, Sika Bonani?
No, Chair, it's supposed to be today at 2.
Oh, not tomorrow. Okay, I got it wrong there. Okay, Honorable Horn.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and given the fact that you only acting, I don't want to pose an unfair question. I did write to Mr. Magwanicha as well. I have not seen on the let's say the program for this quarter, and specifically in the period in which we can do these budget review engagements, a engagement scheduled with the National Prosecuting Authority. I don't know whether it is an oversight or whether it is going to happen at some stage and it was just not in the draft program we were sent, but maybe if we can be updated, it would be good. Thank you.
Thank you. A quick update, Monani, and as well as just confirming the 2 o'clock session.
Yes, Chair, the session with the NPA is next week on Tuesday. It was scheduled to take place this week, but we were informed that the NDPP and their deputies will be traveling abroad, so we had to move it to next week.
Okay, that's set for Tuesday the 25th, a very important date.
Honorable Chairperson, my apologies. Are we excused? We have not been formally excused.
You're not excused yet. You can mute in the meantime.
Sorry?
You're not excused yet, but you can mute in the meantime.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're not out of the woods yet. Bonani, please complete.
Yes, Chair. Yes, I was just confirming that the NPA will appear next week, and then today at 2, we are supposed to have the SIU, and then tomorrow morning we will have the hate crimes, and then at 2 we'll have the Human Rights Commission, and then on Thursday we have the Public Protector, and that meeting is scheduled to take place at 5 because we've got caucuses in the morning and a sitting at 2. So that will be the program for the week.
Okay. There you have it, members. We will pause for now, reconvene at 2 with SIU, and we have another full day tomorrow. Morning session and afternoon session. Thank you very much. Thank you, SG, and your team of the Office of the OCJ. For now, you are excused. And the meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Yes.
Maybe before we take a break, I just want to confirm that we'll use the same link for the afternoon session.
For the 2 o'clock, we use today's link.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it. See you at 2. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.